Well, unfortunately for Hawthorn supporters, a sad day for the club and West Coast supporters, I suppose, as well, with the passing of former Hawthorn player and Hawthorn and West Coast coach in Ken Judge from cancer after being diagnosed with melanomas a few years ago. To talk about his former teammate and reminisce a little bit, we say a very good afternoon to Robert DiBiadomenico. G'day, Dipper.
Glad to be talking to you. Heard the news today. My wife Cheryl heard it on the radio when she told me, and I just, couldn't believe it. And we know that Ken's been sick the last 5 years, but he's certainly put up a great fight, as we all expect. And yeah, sad day on his birthday as well.
Yeah, exactly. That even makes it it tougher mm-hmm. for the family, I'm sure. Tell us about Ken as a player, Robert.
Oh, when he came up from Western Australia, he was one of those talented players, very skillful. Knew how to read the ball very well off the half-forward line, and he had a wicked sense of humour. But when he delivered the ball, you knew exactly that where to go and exactly he was going to hit you on the chest. And he loved kicking the goal. He loved getting those two or three goals a game. And in the grand finals, he did that as well. And when Buchanan and Judgey came over, they certainly set up a good skill set for everybody.
Played in the 1983 Premiership side, missed out, or was part of the team, sorry, I should say, in 84 and 85, but unfortunately missed selection in the 86 team.
Yeah, look, at the time, you're pretty fortunate to be a Hawthorn player in the 80s. We worked hard and we all wanted one thing, to play in grand finals. And unfortunately for Ken, he had a few injuries throughout the year and he missed out on that one there. But, we know him as a Premiership player. He was certainly one of the guys, but I was just saying before, with a wicked sense of humour. He had a very dry sense of humour.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you're going to laugh at him or not, but he was certainly one of the boys. And, of course, he went on the coach.
Yeah, well, he did too. Went on to coach the Hawks. Were you a bit surprised, Dipper, when he left the Hawks to go to Brisbane for a couple of years?
Yeah, look, I suppose that he was at the Hawks, for 3 years or so, the success there wasn't there for him, but at the time. But now it's all about reminiscing him of what a great player and person he was, and to his family and everybody in Western Australia. But having three boys as well, a lot of the time, Tony, it's sort of hard to talk about it because of the fact is that it wasn't just a It wasn't just a footy club. It was a real family club. We not only played football together, we hung out together.
Yeah.
And there's many, many times it would be at someone's house playing cards or doing something on a Friday night or something. So, we're very, very close. And even though you don't see the guys or talk to them over years or months, it's still part of a great time,
He coached Hawthorn for a couple of years, took over from Peter Knights, if memory serves me right, as coach at Hawthorn.
He coached Hawthorn, and of course he went over to West Coast as well,
where he followed Mick Malthouse.
He followed Mick Malthouse. But Ken was always one of those guys who was thinking about the game. He was always thinking about how can we improve the game through training or so like that. Guys like Rodney Eade and guys like Peter Swab and they're sort of guys who play for the club and move on to coach the club. I think it's always a difficult thing is when you play with a club and have great success and then go and coach the side. He's brave enough to do it and got the job and it's sort of it really is a sad day to think about that he's left us at such a young age too.
Yeah, exactly right, Dipper. One would say a lot of people have said in their tributes that they felt that his heart was pretty much always over in WA.
Yeah, well, those West Australians, they think they're better than us. Buchanan or Rod Russell Smith, all the guy, they just talked about the WA. But I suppose home is home.
Yeah.
You can only make a home where you are. And where is it, Hawthorn? Like I can certainly tell you, he certainly made every post a winner over here. But I suppose that, like everyone, you want to go home, that's where your family is. And he got to do that and got the coach and, of course, commentate for many years over there as well.
He did with the ABC. Dipper, really appreciate your time on this sad day for the Hawthorn Football Club today. Look forward to catching you in better circumstances next time.
Yeah, no worries, Tony. Thank you very much.
All right, time to catch up with another one of Ken Judge's teammates, and we say a very good afternoon to Terry Wallace. Terry, a sad occasion for the footy club.
Yeah, very sad day, Tony, no doubt about that. Quite remarkable the way he fought this multiple myeloma, which is the disease that he had. All the way back in 2010, he was first diagnosed with it. So, yeah, look, he fought a very, very brave fight.
Yeah, he certainly does. Leaves behind his wife, Annette, and his boys as well. And from all reports, I didn't know Ken at all, but from what I've heard and read, just a devout family man.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, it was a big move for him, even in the initial stages, to come across from Perth and bring his bride over with a young child and set up roots at Hawthorn. I suppose Gary Bucanara had done it the year before, so there was this Western Australian connection, Rod Lester-Smith being the other one. Those three boys were very, very tight together once they arrived in Melbourne and spent most of their time together.
Dipper was reminiscing before about his ability to find a target and just his accuracy in kicking and his silky skills, and the fact that when he came into the Hawthorn team in 1983, immediate success with a premiership and also awarded the best first-year player.
Yeah, it's spot on. And look, Dipper always knows his stuff and his history. Look, everyone sort of speaks about Gary Bucanara's kicking skills because we all go back to that preliminary final where he nailed the goal up to the siren in 87 to get the Hawks through to another grand final. But for me, if you were talking about any player that you would want kicking the ball for a result in a game, it would have been Ken Judge to me. I mean, his ability from an angle, his ability from outside of 50. He was just such a magnificent kick. And the other thing he was very, very calm and patient with the ball in hands. I think that he trusted and knew how good his kicking skills were, that he just had a real air of confidence about him. And look, he was the finishing touches to us. I mean, we made a preliminary final in 82. We were ready to take the next step. And he had a terrific year in 83 and was able to be a part of that premiership team.
After missing out on the 86 grand final team, moved to the newly formed Brisbane Bears in 87. Was that a bit of a surprise?
Well, I just left myself at that stage, so I was sort of a little bit separated from it. But I think what happened with a lot of those boys, if you actually have a look back to that 1980s era, the club was smart enough that when they had a good run in the 70s, they kept all their premiership players. This time around, they had such good players coming through at the next level, Jimmy Morrissey and Anthony Condon and all these boys, that they weren't going to make the same mistake twice. And so they were prepared to sort of farm off a few of the senior boys to allow that next generation to come through, which allowed them to continue all the way through to 1991 with that premiership run. So I think it was smart by the footy club. Pretty tough, when you're a premiership player at a club to be moved on. But I've got to say that I thought the club were pretty smart in their list management back in the day.
Took over from one of the favourite sons of the Hawthorn Football Club in Peter Knights as coach back in 96, and then moved to West Coast in 2000 as their coach. And I suppose if you judge by on-field success as a coach, it wasn't really there for Ken, was it? 15th, 13th and 9th for the Hawks. Bit of improvement there. And then 13th and 14th after taking over from Mick Malthouse at the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, both pretty tough environments. I mean, I coached against him virtually all through that time. That was my era when I was at the Western Bulldogs. And he came across from as an assistant coach at Carlton to get that job at Hawthorn. But he couldn't have got to Hawthorn at a worse time. I mean, that's when Hawthorn were down on their knees. Mm. Mighty as what they'd been prior to that. The club went virtually close to bankruptcy. We know about the merger that they were operating with Melbourne. So it was almost the worst time that he could have possibly been at the Hawthorn Footy Club. And so, it's a tough gig. And sometimes you get to a club at the wrong time and, that impacts what your coaching record looks like eventually. But, still you develop, and which he did, he developed some of the younger boys, which it went on and played some really good footy for the club. And obviously, you know, then the opportunity of going back home when you've got a young family, yep. you know, I think that's the thing that drew him back to Perth.
And he must have been able to coach. There's no doubt about that. He was an assistant under David Parkin, if I remember correctly, and it was Parkin that actually gave the thumbs up to the club to say, you've got to grab this guy.
Yeah, well, that was 95, obviously, the Blues having their success. And look, he was a smart footy person. And, you know, he had lived around football. I mean, even when he was at Hawthorn, he was the full-time development officer at the club for a period of time, you know, making sure that all the regions, as it was back then, that Gippsland region and all our local regions were sort of being looked after, whether that be clinics, whether that be the recruiting factor. He sort of headed up all of that. So he had a pretty smart footy brain and was full-time before most people were.
Football's all about stats, Terry. Then this is an amazing one. Ked Judge was born in 1958. He died on the day that he was born at 58 years of age. It's an amazing stat.
Yeah, it is. When you have a look at it, I don't think many people ever would be in that position. Look, as I said, he fought a great fight, and 58 years of age is far, far too young. And, we'll all miss him greatly.
Yeah, we certainly will. Terry, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Tony.